Good morning to everyone, and I am warning everyone that this morning may make your life much easier or may not make even 1 ounce of a difference in the way you get ready for Pesach. The topic of this year is, why and what do I need to clean for Pesach? By the end of this year, either you will thank me or you will say, I can't be. So let us begin.
Can you give this to women?
I have tried in the past to give this to women. I was successful in giving this to women. About 50 women came on a Shabbos and came to the shir. And I'll tell you what happened after the shir, which will be very indicative of why you're asking. As an introduction, I just want to say that even though we're all getting ready for Pesach by getting rid of chametz, and you mentioned it at the beginning of the shir that we have cake on the table, there are other mitzvos that apply to Pesach that we can't forget. If you look in the top of the source sheet, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, this is not an obscure source, this is the code of Jewish law. Chayav adam liyot sameach v'tov leiv b'moed. A person has to be happy with a good heart on Yontif. And not just him, who, but rather ve'ishto, Harold, his wife, uvanav and his children, v'chol hanilvim alav. So first and foremost, let us not forget, as we edge closer to Pesach, that we have a mitzvah to be happy on Pesach. We have to set the mood and the tone so that we will be happy on Pesach and fulfill this mitzvah. The Mishnah Berurah comments on the Shulchan Aruch, v'hu mitzvah taseh min ha-Torah, it's a positive commandment, which is a machlokas we shown him today, if there's still a positive commandment of v'samachta b'chagecha, when we don't bring the three obligatory korbanos that we're supposed to bring on Yontif. But the Mishnah Berurah takes a stand that it is a mitzvah zaseh min ha-Torah, but even if you say it's a rabbinic commandment, a commandment it is, and we're all Orthodox Jews around the table, right? Thank God. So therefore we fulfill rabbinic commandments. V'noheged gam b'nashim. And again he says, V'noheged gam b'nashim. So Harold, I guess he had the same problem as you. So number one, we have to get ready to be happy, and therefore we can't turn this period of time into, oh boy, Pesach is coming. Oh my gosh, Pesach is coming. We have to remember that there's a mitzvah to be happy on Pesach. Two, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's not just on Pesach, but actually leading up to Pesach. There's other mitzvos involved, such as Sho'alin b'hilchot ha-Pesach kodem la-Pesach shloshim yom. The Shulchan Aruch begins Hilchos Pesach by saying, when you learn the laws of Pesach, it's not just to know which toothpaste that you're allowed to use on Pesach, but rather, there's a mitzvah to learn the laws of Pesach before Pesach. So this morning around this table, we are not just fulfilling a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, we are also fulfilling which mitzvah?
Learning
Shloshim Yom Lifnei HaChag. We're getting ready by learning the halachas of Pesach. And that's important as we get ready for Pesach, not just to clean the house, but to learn. What do I have to do on the Seder night? What do I have to do for the rest of Pesach? Which mitzvot apply the Seder night? Which mitzvot apply the first day, the second day, the third day, etc.? And then the Shulchan Aruch adds on. So beyond being happy on Pesach, number one. And beyond learning before Pesach, number two. This is all beyond cleaning. Number three. Nisan is an important month. If you recall, some of you will have the minhag this Shabbos to read part of the Haggadah. The Haggadah starts with Avadim Hayinu, etc. And then it brings the story of the rabbis. And then it says, Yachol Mirosh Chodesh. Anyone know what those words mean? Perhaps. What?
Perhaps
the Seder could have been from Rosh Chodesh. In other words, what's the Hava Amina? The Hava Amina means, what was the assumption that later we refuted? We said, no, Talmud Lomar Bayomahu has to be that day. But what was the assumption? The assumption wasn't illogical. It wasn't an assumption. Maybe it would have said, you can do the Seder on Sukkot. Talmud Lomar, no, you have to do it on Pesach. That's just stupidity. What's the assumption? Yachol Mirosh Chodesh. The Gemara and the Mishnahs, and they don't put in assumptions just for the kicks. Assumption has logic to it. What's the assumption? Chodesh Nisan, the entire month, is important. The entire month had events in it that have to do with Pesach. As we're sitting here, the Makos were happening in Mitzrayim. We're getting close to the 10th of Nisan, when the Jewish people brought the Korban to the house for 4 days. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says, this wasn't just by Yamim Ahem, but it's Bizman Hazeh. And Oflim Opnehem B'chol Chodesh Nisan. Everyone came here this morning with a good attitude because you didn't say Tachanun. You didn't say, oh my gosh, I did a sin. Right? No, that's not the reason you're happy. You're happy because davening was shorter. But if you want to look frum, then you have to say, no, I'm not happy davening was shorter. Why davening would take an hour instead of 25 minutes? No, I'm happy because Tachanun talks about sins. Rachum v'chanun chatati lefanech. I didn't have to confess for my sins today. I'm a good mood. That's the frum way of saying it. Ein oflim al pneihim b'chol chodesh Nisan, and then Shabbos ein omrim tzidkotcha b'Shabbos b'mincha, ve'ein maspidim bo. You don't even give a hesped during Nisan. So as you could see, above and beyond cleaning, which is important, and we're going to deal with that today, we have a mitzvah of simcha, number one. We have a mitzvah of learning the laws of Pesach before Pesach, number two. And number three, we have a mitzvah to have some sort of happiness, which manifests itself by not saying tachanun, and not saying tzidkatcha, and not doing espedim. So, therefore, as the common saying is in Israel, don't make your kids the Korban Pesach before Pesach. Don't say the above all and the most important thing is getting rid of chametz and that's it and nothing else is there. We have other things on the agenda. That's the introduction to the shir. Now let's begin. We still have to get rid of chametz. Everybody knows why do we need to get rid of chametz?
Torah
says you have to get rid of chametz. You're absolutely 100% Bruce wrong. Torah never said to get rid of chametz. Let's go through the two stages, gentlemen. Stage number one. On the source sheet, you'll find it by looking for stage number one. I made it very simple this morning. Getting rid of chametz biblically. Bruce says you got to get rid of it. So when you hear the word get rid, it means take the cake and give it away to a goy. Take the cake and eat it and finish it before the time you're not allowed to eat. Take the cake and perhaps throw it out. It might be bal tashchis. Take the cake and burn it. That's what I would have thought. Comes the Gemara and says, no! When the Torah says, Bayom HaRishon Tashpitu Se'or Mibatechem, it doesn't mean get rid of it. What does it mean? Gemara Psachim Davdalet Amud Bet. It's two places in Mesechet Psachim. By the way, Mesechet Psachim deals with Pesach. Whoever didn't figure that one out. Mesechet Psachim says, Kamash Molan, we learn from here, the whole sugya deals with bedikas chametz. Kevan de bedikat chametz midirabbanan hu, because checking for chametz is a rabbinic enactment. Going around the house on the night before Pesach and checking for chametz is a rabbinic enactment. Demi de oraita bebitul ba'amasagile, because from the Torah, from God's perspective, it's good enough to do what we call bitul. So biblically, we don't have to get rid of the chametz. In order not to violate the Isser of Bal Yira'eh Uval Yematzeh, which means having chametz in your possession during Pesach, which is a very, very important prohibition, all you got to do is, from God's perspective, say it,
Bittul.
That's it. Now here's a million-dollar question. What's Bittul? 3 deos in Rishonim. On your source sheet, you could see there's a chart with 3 deos. 1, 2... Very good. One person's listening. Everyone else, come to the shir. I want coffee. I want cake. Anything to wake you up. 1, 2, it cannot be hard to say 3. Comes along Rashi and says, Dichtiv etashbitu v'loch dichtiv v'varu. The Torah never said, burn it. In other words, cease its existence upon the earth, but rather, tashbitu. What does tashbitu mean? Says Rashi. Hashpata delev hu hashpata. In your heart, you're going to say, I no longer have this chametz. What that means, we don't know. Something in the heart. I no longer. So, according to Rashi, Rashi's house, there's Cheerios all around the house. There's noodles in the cupboard. There's whiskey. Maybe didn't have whiskey, but definitely something like whiskey. Let's say beer at that time, right on the shelf. Rashi says you can leave it in the house on Pesach. What do you have to do with the Erev Pesach? You have to do bitul. What's bitul? You have to say, or you have to think in your heart, this is no longer important to me. This is no longer important to me. That's it. Rashi. 2. Tosfos. Tosfos doesn't like Rashi. He gives a few questions on Rashi and he says, Va'omer Ri in the name of the Ri, Dibimi Odo, right? The Bitul Ba'amasagi. Indeed, Bitul is good enough. Why? Mitam de me'achar shebitlo, the minute the person's mevatel the chametz, and we'll find out what that means, Havei Hefker Ve'yatzam Yerushuto. So according to Tosfos, in the name of the Ri, it's not enough to say in your heart that this chametz is no longer chametz for me. I'm not going to eat it. It's no longer. What do you need to do?
It's not in mind.
You need to make it ownerless. So yes, there's a chumrah. It's not midoraisa. You have to do it in front of three people. Make it ownerless. Have a declaration. My chametz is ownerless. So according to Tosfos, same scenario. Cheerios around the house, noodles on the shelf, beer on the cupboard right in front of you. What do you got to do on Pesach, Erev Pesach? You have to say it's ownerless. Whoever wants can come take it. If a non-Jew comes in, or a Jew doesn't care, tell him to take it. Now I say, don't take it. It's mine. It's not yours. You made it ownerless. The Ramban, living in the Sephardic communities, says, Elakach ani omer. He has a long, long Ramban on Daf Dalet Amud Bet in Masechet Pesachim. When we learn Masechet Pesachim in the yeshiva, so at the beginning of every Masechta, my Rebbe, Rav Lichtenstein, Zechetzalik Yivracha, would do what's called Skirat Sfarim. We'd go through the Rishonim on the Masechta and say, these are the good books you should buy, you should have. And he said, the Ramban for Pesachim is not really important except for Daf Dalet. First of all, amazing, he knew every Ramban, and then he said, that's the one, and it's a long Ramban about Bitul Chametz, and he says like this, I'm giving you the punchline here, because it's a long Ramban. Shahabitul mo'il lehotzi mitorat chametz, ve'lahachshivo ke'afar she'ina ra'ui la'achila. So according to the Ramban, same scenario, beer on the shelf, Cheerios all over the house, what do you got to do? You got to say it's like dust. So you got to look at the bottle of whiskey and say, for me, it's like dust. What is the common denominator between Rashi, who says, just think it's no longer, it's meaningless, according to Rashi, Tosfos, who says you make it ownerless, and the Ramban, who says you have to actually say that it's like dust? What's the common denominator? Right, you don't have to get rid of it. It's in the house. The Ramban even says it. Next source. Inyan bitul chomet zesek shilbag marami demaraita bitul ba'al masagile. This bitul that's good enough for God, what is it? Vaday lo lema'ed b'dika bilvadam ru. It's not just that you don't have to check the house for chametz. Ela afilu chametz yadua. Even if you know you have chametz, you know the cupboard has real noodles, real cake, not the medicines that may be chametz, the real McCoy. Then you're alefaneinu. And you don't take the schnapps off the shelf and you put it away and you cover it up with five blankets. It's right there. Sagile b'bitul. It's good enough to do bitul. So because this is a biblical prohibition, let's just sum up. We don't have to get rid of the chametz at all. We can leave it all over the house. What do we need to do, basically, to clean for Pesach biblically? Answer, nothing. You don't have to clean the house for Pesach, except you have to mevatel. And number two, important, if you want to eat, you got to kasher your kitchen. But other than that, chametz all over the house. Chametz everywhere. Just, you got to kasher the kitchen if you want to eat kosher for Pesach food. That's it.
But doesn't the Torah say that we shouldn't see chametz?
No. Baal Yeroa in the Torah doesn't mean not to see it. There is a Hava Amina like in the Gemara. The Gemara basically comes to the conclusion that that doesn't mean not to see it. It means that you shouldn't own it. Not seen is another way of saying not owning. Right? The Gemara uses that lashon in one place where it says, "Ro'ei shelcha v'lo shel nochri v'shel acher." In any case, you have a good point, but at the end of the day, you could see it. So, just to make a long story short, according to the Torah, God said, when you get ready for Pesach, you got to be happy, you got to do this, you got that, you got to do bitul. That's it. And you have to kosher your kitchen if you want to eat kosher for Pesach food. If you can find a way to cater out all the meals, you also don't have to do that. And what do we do since it's a biblical prohibition? We're machmer on this. Let's look at the nusach of the bitul that we say. On Erev Pesach in the morning, I'm not talking to one about the one at night, kol chamira v'chamir hadika birshuti, every chametz I have, dechaziteyu d'lo chazitey, if I saw it or I didn't see it, d'biarteyu d'lo b'aytey, if I got rid of it or not, what do? We take Rashi, we take Tosfos, we take the Ramban, and we say all three. One, libatel, who said by bitul is meaningless. Rashi, right? Next, v'la'ave hefker, who said hefker? Tosfos. Number three?
Ramban.
Ka'afra di'ara, the Ramban. So we do all three. End the shir. Leave everything around the house. No cleaning, except for kashering the kitchen. Just make sure you do this bitul. That's it. Now we got to get to what the rabbis did to us. The rabbis always come along and they change everything.
Do we think that that's what they did, or are they telling this to the public because they understand They don't want to put the tzurich on the public. Did they themselves do this?
Did they themselves do this?
All the, just this? Their own
what do you think? The Gemara was this popular book written in order for them to get more votes in the ballot? Of course this is what they did. Of course this is what God wanted.
I never heard of a guy in this restaurant.
Okay, I'm going to be honest with you.
It's kosher, but I wouldn't eat it.
You don't have to do bitul. You don't have to do bitul. Bruce, this is not...
Say, this is good, but I wouldn't
eat it. Okay, whoever says that, you point him towards me and I'll set him straight. That's absolutely... You should know how much damage those statements have made in the Jewish people. I'll just give you one story to illustrate, okay? When you say, no, this is for the masses, but I'm different, and you say that, basically the masses don't understand that this is a chumrah and this is the ikar adin. I was in a community where they said, yeah, the rabbi doesn't eat from the local deli, but he gives the hechsher to it. And they continued the sentence to the next logical conclusion. The rabbi cannot drive on Shabbos, but we're allowed to. Next, the rabbi cannot take a haircut with a razor and take a shave with a razor. We're allowed to. So that has done terrible damage, that statement. This is true biblically for every Jew around the world. Now, you can get rid of your chametz and not do bitul, because you have nothing to mevata. If you want to, you can clean your house and just get rid of your chametz. But, quite frankly, you don't have to. Bitul is good enough from God's perspective. Now we're going to see what the rabbis did. But, before we see what the rabbis did, is this still relevant today before stage two? Is this still relevant? For who?
For all of us.
For all of us that are not home within, we learned this last week. 30 days. So if you're not home within 30 days of the holiday, stage two doesn't apply to you. Mm-hmm. Only stage one. So Erev Pesach, you just have to get up and do bitul. That's all you got to do. Everything's in the house. It's fine. That was stage one. Stage one, all you do is bitul. Whatever bitul means, we took all three opinions. That's all. Leave all the chametz around the house and kosher your kitchen. That's all you got to do. Now comes the stage two. The rabbis came along and said, you have to do bedikas chametz, which means check the house for chametz, and physically get rid of the chametz. Either by eating it, either by giving it away, by selling it, etc. To the extent that by Erev Pesach, after nightfall, Yud-Dalet Nisan, you have to check the house and make sure that it's clean. So the rabbis made up this thing of cleaning for Pesach. Why? We just saw that biblically it's good enough to do bitul. So there's an important run at the beginning of Masechet Pesachim, which deals with this. And he says, Kivan sof sof tzarich bitul. You need to do bitul. Why did the rabbis make us walk around the house and check there's no physical chametz in the house? In other words, physically get rid of it, which means we have to clean the house for Pesach, as we usually say. He says a few reasons. First of all, the rabbis made an enactment, you may eat it. What does that mean? Let's think about this.
If you come to see it on Pesach, you might eat it.
If you see it on Pesach,
you might eat it.
It was said, I forgot.
Arthur.
What Arthur said before, you, when you see it, I said, it's okay, Arthur, you can see it. But Arthur said, if you see it, you may eat it. Now let me ask you a question. Did the rabbis ever say you have to do bedikas chazir? Check the house that there's no pig. If there's any ham, you got to get rid of it. You have to do this whole ceremony. You have to make a bracha. You have to go around with the feather that they send you from all the places you donate money for. And you do, why didn't they do this for chazir? Explains the Ran. I'll tell you why.
The rest of the year, there's no pig in the house.
Look at the Ran later on. Hainu taima mishum dechamet lo bedile mine. Chametz is different from chazir. Why? Because chametz is allowed 365 days a year minus 7. And therefore, if it's in the house and you eat it all year, what would stop you on Pesach morning from eating it? You're a little tired, 4 cups of wine the last night, you're constipated from the matzah, the seder went late, you got up in the morning, and you see the Cheerios. Every morning you eat Cheerios, you would eat it on Pesach morning too. Not because you're a bad person, not because you want to go ahead and rebel against God. You do it every day. Chazir, on the other hand, you never eat. If you see lobster in the house, you'd get rid of it yourself because you yourself never eat it. Therefore, the Chachamim said you can leave it in the house. You know why? Because you won't eat it. Why won't you eat it? It's not allowed 365 days a year. So, putting this together, why is it that they made this idea of getting rid of chametz not enough to do bitul? Because
a precaution against accidentally
eating it. Why did they make this precaution only with regard to chametz? Number one, the lo bedile mine, because it's not disgusting to you. You have it in the house all year and you eat it. Cheerios is okay to eat today. What's today's Hebrew date? Dalit. Hey, Nisan. Today's Hey Nisan. You can eat Cheerios on Hey Nisan. So what would be the problem? If it's Tet Vav Nisan, you'd eat Cheerios in the morning. By the Seder, I'm assuming you wouldn't eat Cheerios. It'd make us a razzle-dazzle Seder. No one would think of eating chametz. But next morning, you're a little, you know, and not there because of the Seder the night before. You may do it. So that was the first reason why they made this idea of physically getting rid of the chametz, which means cleaning the house and getting rid of it. The second reason is because it's a big prohibition. It's karet. If you own chametz, it's karet. Comes along the Mishnah Berura, taking the Ran and other Rishonim and explaining it to us in such a beautiful way. He says there's another reason. One, lefisha chashasho she'achar she'abitul talui b'machshavtam she'bnei adam u'v'deyotehen, ulai yirei b'einei ha'adam she'yesh lo chametz ba'ad kama alafim lahafgir, v'af she'befiv yomar she'hu batel ve'hefker ve'chashiv ke'afra. I'll translate. Since it's based on your declaration and what you say in your heart, and even though you're saying what it says in the Haggadah there, you know, at the beginning there where it says, you're saying all the words, and you learn, it's like dust, and it means nothing to me, and it's ownerless, and you say all the words, says the Mishnah Berurah. Words are cheap. The rabbis knew with due respect. You're going to take a $100 bottle of whiskey. You're going to leave on the shelf. And you're going to say, it's ownerless. It's like dust. Anyone can come take it. Do you mean it? Says the Mishnah Berurah. You don't mean a word you say.
So you can use the same argument. Why is Tefillah so long?
Why
don't we just stand there for 10 minutes and quietly and think in our heart what we feel?
Arthur is 100% right. The Shulchan Aruch starts his first siman in Shulchan Aruch and says, it's better to say less but with kavana than more with less kavana. Absolutely. And number two, you should mean what you say. But says the Mishnah Berurah, I know people. Quite frankly, when they say all the right words, they don't mean it. Words are cheap. And because words are cheap, therefore, we don't trust your beetle. We don't really think that's going to be enough. So therefore, the Chachamim said, physically get rid of it.
Even if you didn't mean it, if you made a declaration in front of people.
Yeah. You don't have to make a declaration in front of people, midoraisa, and therefore, you can say many things. But quite frankly, if someone comes into your house on Pesach, takes that bottle of whiskey, you may say, hey, what are you taking? It's mine. Even though you made all the declarations in the world. Reason number one, words are cheap. Reason number two, same thing that the Ran said, Mishom mitoch shiregilin bo kol hashana, im yeh bebeitov v'reshuto, gazrinan shishkach v'yavol lechol. Simply, it's allowed all year. Cheerios are allowed all year. If it's in the house, I'm going to eat it, even on Pesach. So putting these two reasons together, it was good enough to make that declaration that we said earlier, machmir for all the shitos, hashpata balev, hefker, as well as afrodara. But first of all, words are cheap, maybe you don't mean it. And second of all, you may come and eat it, because it's allowed all year. Because of those two reasons, either you don't mean it, or you may come to eat it, the Chachamim made this gzera of bedikas chametz. In order to check for chametz, what do you have to do? You have to first clean the house and get rid of the chametz, and then you check that there's nothing left. Therefore, we got cleaning for Pesach. So God never told you to clean for Pesach except for kashering your kitchen. The Chachamim said do it for two reasons. What were the two reasons?
You may not mean it.
You may not need your you may not mean what you say in your beetle. You may come to eat it. Very good. Now comes the million-dollar question, gentlemen. Here comes the part where Harold said, can you talk to the women? Okay, I understand why I have to clean for Pesach, but what do I have to clean for Pesach? Which is another way of saying, halachically, where do I have to check for chametz? So let's talk about that, because that's going to be the million-dollar question. Yeah?
When the Torah says beetle, beetle only, does this mean that God didn't know that there's a potential problem? And all the rabbis came and said, you know what, this perfect Torah, it's not so perfect because God forgot.
Torah's perfect mannerisms.
That's correct.
Arthur, first of all, I agree with every word you just said. Judaism is perfect, the Jews are not. I think you're absolutely right. And number two, Bruce, I think that it's very consistent with what the Chachamim do around, above and beyond Pesach. Okay, Asu Siyag LaTorah is one of the things that the Chachamim do. They say if the fence is over here by the cliff, we're going to put it back 5 meters for good reasons. We saw the reality, and that's what we did. Now, who told them to do that? Who gave them the license? God. God said, here, I'm giving the Torah to the Jewish people. I'm going to give it to Chachamim. Who's Chachamim? That's a different question. But let's just call Chachamim this group. Okay? This group of people got together. And I'm giving it to you. Now, if you see that things are not working out, make Gzerot. Make Gzerot. Now, the Gzerot stopped at a certain time. But make Gzerot because you see that it's not working out and people are going to do prohibitions. So one of the many of the enactments is over here. They said, yeah, God said it. If everyone meant what they said, and chametz would have been allowed, not allowed all year, including Pesach, we wouldn't have to make this Gezerah. But because chametz is allowed all year, maybe people will come eat it, not because they're bad people, because it's in the house. And because words are cheap, maybe the beetle doesn't work. So because of that, says the Mishnah Berurah in the next source.
Is it possible for Rosh Hashanah to allow?
It wasn't okay up until their time.
They didn't do bidika.
Even in their time, they did bidika. They were trying to explain what did God say, and now what did the Chachamim add on?
I mean, even they did bidika.
Of course they did bidika.
They didn't look at it and say it's like.
Absolutely, they did bidika. Now I understand your question from before. They were trying to explain what did God ask us to do. Now what did the Chachamim ask us to do? So now we're already past the beetle stage. We still do beetle for very, and you're going to see why in a moment. But we're at the time where you have to clean, and therefore you do bidikas chametz, and you get rid of it physically.
Right.
So once again, the Torah never said to get rid of it physically. You can leave it in the house. The Chachamim, for two reasons, said get rid of it physically. Either because you may eat it, or because you bitul, you don't mean it. Okay, it says the Mishnah Berurah, the next source, where it says today, clean, check, plus bitul. Lachen tiknul chazal, sha'af al pisha mevatel, even though you do the bitul, you say it. Lo saki, it's not enough. Ela tzarich, you have to livdok v'lava'aro min ha'olam. You have to check and physically get rid of it. U'mikol makom tzarich levatel gam kein, and even though you're physically getting rid of it, you still do bitul. Why? Maybe a guy can't, you missed it. You missed something in the house. God forbid you have a good loaf of bread somewhere and you didn't know about it simply because you didn't check well. And therefore, we do both. We cover ourselves on both grounds. On the one hand, we get rid of everything. But on the other hand, if we miss something, we do bitul and it's covered by bitul.
Your two-year-old hit a piece of bread somewhere.
Yeah, but not just your two-year-old. There's a famous story that I know that was told to us, at least, about Rav Soloveitchik. He was driving on Pesach with my Rebbe, Rav Lichtenstein, and he opens the glove compartment, and there's a wafer in there, chametz wafer. And Rav Soloveitchik was beyond himself. According to one version, he started to cry. And my Rebbe, Rav Lichtenstein, said, what are you worried about? First of all, it's probably pasul achilas kelev. And second of all, we did bitul. Didn't help. A Jew's heart sees chametz on Pesach. He cries. So, make a long story short, the glove compartment. Who thinks of checking in the glove compartment? Quite frankly, I wouldn't think of checking in there. You know why? I never put chametz in there. We'll talk about that in a moment. But just in case you didn't check well, you still do bitul. So you do bitul to cover yourself for the places you didn't check well. But you still check the house, and you clean the house, and you get rid of all the chametz. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. So, million-dollar question. What do you got to do? Says the Shulchan Aruch. And I quote, Simon Tov Lamed Gimel, this is the code of Jewish law, HaMechabit Chadra B'Yud Gimel Minisan, you should sweep the house on this year Thursday, the day before Thursday night, where you check for chametz. U'mechaven livdok ha-chametz v'lavaro, v'nizah shalot achnis shamot chametz, afal pinkein tzarich livdok b'lel yodalet. So you sweep the house. Again, you don't have to put bleach everywhere, etc. You sweep the house, and you ultimately get rid of the chametz. So that on Thursday night, you can check for chametz, and there's no chametz. And if you miss the spot, you put it into that famous, what do you call that thing? I know there's a feather and the candle. I love the feather and the candle. They give you from all the places that you give money to. I mean, it's so nice. It's really beautiful. No one uses it, but everyone holds it. And everyone takes a picture with the feather, and no one actually uses the feather. It's beautiful.
It's not the feather. It's the quill.
It's the quill. Okay, I'm saying it. That's right. So says the Shulchan Aruch, and then the Rama ends, V'chol adam tzarich l'chabed chadarav kodem abdikah. It's a good idea. Go ahead and clean the house before the bedika, which we're basically doing now, cleaning for Pesach. The akisim or batei yad shel gadim shedimim lefayimim chametz. And if you have the custom of putting chametz in various places, such as your pockets, such as your bedroom, then tzarichim bedika. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, where do you check for chametz? Or to be more precise, where do you have to clean and then check for chametz? Places where you presumably put chametz throughout the year. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "Lo mivdak shapi below kibud." It's very hard to check for chametz if you didn't sweep the house first. Why? Because you'll find chametz. Very good. And then the Mishnah Brura says it's actually a minhag before bedikas chametz to sweep the house. And then the Mishnah Brura adds on, and we said this last year, it's a good idea, last week, a good idea all the 30 days before Pesach when this chovat bedika, this rabbinic thing of cleaning and then doing bedika starts. Be careful. When you read a book, there shouldn't be any crumbs going in. So this Shabbos, you're going to read the Haggadah, maybe, from Avadim Mayinu until the Chaper Ba'akol Avonotenu. If you have that minhag, Shabbos Haggadah, make sure you're not doing it over a piece of challah. If you're doing it with a piece of challah, make sure that there's no crumbs going in. A very good idea. So, according to the Shulchan Aruch, what are you going to do? Bittul's not good enough. We have to actually clean the house and get rid of the chametz. What do we have to clean? Where?
Wherever you put
chametz. Wherever you usually bring chametz into. Where don't you have to clean?
Where you don't?
Where you usually don't. Okay? Now let me give you the scenario. You have a drawer in the kitchen. The drawer comes out like this. In the drawer you put in throughout the year, cakes and cookies, etc. Do you have to clean it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you have to check it for chametz and lel bedikas chametz? Yeah. Absolutely. What about the part behind the drawer? You know, the drawer comes out and there's the part behind it. Or let's say behind the refrigerator. In the refrigerator, do you put chametz during the year? 100%. Do you have to check the refrigerator? Yeah. What about behind the refrigerator? Do you have to take out the refrigerator, check behind it to see if there's any chametz there? Oh, let's see. Let's see. So my wife, like every other Jewish woman, the other night said, I can't get the vacuum cleaner into the drawer. I said, what do you mean? The drawer comes out, you put the vacuum. No, not in the drawer, behind the drawer. You know, the drawer doesn't actually come out. It comes out like this, it slides out. Then you have to try to get your hand in there without killing yourself. Yes. And behind the drawer, she thinks she sees crumbs. So we have to get rid of those crumbs. Turn the page. Let's see. Maybe. Maybe yes, maybe not. Bote kol ha-mekamot sheyesh lachush shem echnis b'hem chametz, says the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Taf Lamed Gimel. You check all the places that you may have put chametz into. Now let me be very clear. You check all the places you may have put chametz into. When I came home from shopping, I put chametz into the refrigerator, into the cupboards. Perhaps I put chametz in my bedroom. Perhaps I put chametz on, I don't know, a chair. So those are the places you have to check. Everyone okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you came home from the store, did you put chametz behind the drawer?
No.
Did you put chametz behind the refrigerator? Take out the refrigerator, put the shopping bag there, then push the refrigerator back. Anyone do that?
But your kid might.
I don't care if your kid might. That's my question. I want to understand. Your kid went ahead, took out the refrigerator, ate chametz there, put chametz and put the refrigerator back for kicks.
I have a strong grandson.
V'lachein, says the Shulchan Aruch, kol chadrei habayit v'ha'aliyot tzrichim b'dika, places she'pa'amim adam nichnas behem v'pitol b'yado. You know, we don't only eat at the table like good, normal human beings. We're sometimes slobs. And we go ahead and we eat while walking. We eat. So if we're eating while walking between the kitchen and the dining room, we got to check those places, the floor between the kitchen and the dining room, which means, let's say, here's the kitchen. Then I have to look on the floor. Is there any chametz? If there is, got to get rid of it.
Well,
okay.
I mean, even if you have
now
a wine
comes
cellar,
the punchline.
Is it three barrels in, three
wine
barrels
wine cellar, wine cellar. Bruce. Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebichtav. We're not Chalashudas Torah here. You know what Chalashudas Torah means? Chalashudas, there was no lights. So people would quote things. And no one knows if they quoted it correctly because they couldn't look it up in the book. But now we have lights, Baruch Hashem. Look what the next line is. Avalotzarot yayin chen mistapek mihem. But if you have a wine cellar and you never go down to the wine cellar with chametz in Amtsachim Dika.
I must have read ahead.
Then he continues. Chose chorei abayit, the holes in the house. Vizizin habolti meakatalim sheinam gvohim arbe. Let's say the shelf here. Sometimes I put chametz on it. V'lo nemuchim, and not too slow, but normal size. I mean, not too high, not too low. Tzuchim dika. Aval ha'gvohim she'en yad ha'magad b'hem. Let's say on top there, there's a shelf. I never go on a ladder. Go up there and start eating my sandwich. In other words, a normal human being will eat a sandwich while walking. A normal human being will eat a sandwich in their car. But I don't know many human beings, normal ones that is, who will take a ladder go up on the ladder, as standing on the ladder, make sure they're eating over the shelf on top and say, with one leg here, one leg there, and he's eating. So says the Shulchan Aruch, you don't need to check there, you don't need to clean there, you don't need to check there. Hagvohim she'en ayad adam magat bahem, sham v'hanimuchim enam tzerchim tika. Now comes the best line. Yisrael shesh leborot melayim chitim. A Jew has a very deep pit, and it's full of wheat. What's wheat?
Potential
chametz if it comes in contact with water, not when it's connected to the ground, but afterwards. And maybe because it's in this pit, it already got in contact with water, and therefore it's chametz. Does he have to take a ladder, go down to the pit and check? Says the Shulchan Aruch. Yes. Now what does that mean? And I want to be very clear. The Chachamim made a gezeira that any place that you usually eat chametz, namely any place that you may eat it, if it's there, on Pesach, remember what we said earlier? You have to get rid of the chametz and check. Any place you usually don't bring chametz into, you don't have to check. Mm-hmm. And therefore, sin, more than that, if there's no chashash for you to actually eat it, such as a deep pit on the bottom, behind the refrigerator, behind the drawers, and etc., 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 you don't need to check for chametz. So in other words, what does the Shulchan Aruch say? Where do you need to clean?
Where you have normal places of putting chametz.
Where you usually eat, or where chametz is usually found. Got it? Where you usually eat, a chametz is usually found. The car, many of us eat in the car, you have to clean the car for Pesach. Mm-hmm. Where in the car, though?
The glove compartment.
The glove compartment, if you usually put chametz in there, yeah? Yeah? But do you need to take out the seats of the car, clean under them, put the seats back in, and cover it with tinfoil? No, because I usually don't take out the seats of the car, eat chametz there, and put the seat back. But on my driver's seat, where I sometimes eat a sandwich, yes, I have to vacuum around it to make sure there's no chametz. But, says the Shulchan Aruch, if you usually don't eat there, or you usually don't store chametz there, you don't need to clean it. You don't need to check there, which means you don't need to clean it. Meaning, anlel bedikas chametz. If you made a bracha, sher kedishanu mitzvata b'sivanu al b'yir chametz, and the first place you check is behind the refrigerator, it's a bracha lebatala. Because the Chachamim never made a gzera. Yes, Mr. Weiser, I'm sorry.
Okay, I left the question. What happened if you locked the door a day before, let's say this year, the Thursday morning, locked the door, then...
Sell your house.
You're not there.
Did you sell your house? Did you sell it?
What?
Did you sell it?
Sold all the chametz in the house.
Okay, if you sold all the chametz in the house, there are two deos in the poskim if you still need to check the house for bedikas chametz. One deos says you don't because the house is not yours on the night of the 14th. The other deos says no, you still have to because it's within the 30 days.
I do it because
what we usually do is we say do a bedika without a bracha at least on one room. Right.
Because if you go to hotels.
Right. So those that go to hotels and go away, then they theoretically.
I lock the door and.
So let's just go stage.
Right.
Again, if selling chametz is another way of saying I'm getting rid of the chametz, meaning it can be in my house, but I'm renting the space to a non-Jew. So you don't have to just do that on one part of the house, you can do it on the whole house. If you do it on the whole house, you need to clean the house for Pesach? Meaning is, do you have the obligation to do bedikas chametz? It's two deos in poskim. We usually say, we do it, albeit without a bracha. Now I want to say honestly, based on what we just said now, doing bedikas chametz is not going to be the biggest deal in the world. Because I just said you only have to check for chametz in places that you usually put chametz into or you eat. Now I'm going to add in the third monkey wrench. Mr. Weiser, you're going to like this one. What kind of chametz do you look for? Let's think about this a moment. What chametz do we look for? We already know where. Now comes the big question. What? Crumbs. Wrong. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Batzek shebistekei avera, areva. Im yesh kezayit b'makom echad, chayav avera. Im lav, im hayasui lechazak poshim v'avera, v'stam bonekev, batel b'miyotov, im lav, chayav avera. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Avak kishelon nishar ben hakol kesayid en tzarich levaro. According to the simple letter of the law, what kind of chametz are you looking for? Chametz has a kezayit. How big is the kezayit? Let's be very machmir, like a matchbox, a small matchbox. That's what you're looking for.
Well, that's what I call a crumb.
That's a crumb?
That's what I mean. You know,
I want to understand. Kezayit, which would obligate you in not only a bracha before, but perhaps benching after of bread, you say it's a crumb.
Well, I didn't mean to say a crumb. I'm using a crumb euphemistically for a
number one
cookie.
You have to look for things that have a kezayit, meaning you don't need to use magnifying glasses. You don't need to take the crumbs out. No way. Number two, says the Mishnah, boy, you want to be machmir? Be a little more machmir. Achen, says, Be'emet ma'ishmachoket ben ha'poskim b'zeh. Do you need to look for chametz that's less than a kezayit? Tedat arbe poskim dafil pachot b'kezayit tzarich biur. So maybe you have to look for chametz that's less than a kezayit. Okay, and there comes your crumbs. Things that are less than a kezayit. So, you know what? Let's be machmir. Let's look for crumbs. Fine, let's look for crumbs.
Between the
wait, let's finish. Ve'davka kesheraoi la'achila k'tzat. Aval imaya metunav k'tzat. O pachot mikezayit. Ain't tzarich levayar l'chulei alma. To sum up, where do you have to check for chametz?
Anywhere you're going to eat.
Anywhere you usually eat or you usually store chametz. A. B. What do you look for? To be more precise, what do you clean for Pesach?
Kezayit.
Kezayit. And less than a kezayit if it's still edible. That's it. So if it's a Cheerio, which is less than a kezayit, and it's still edible, you should look for those. Absolutely. But if it's a crumb that's been there for the last 6 months, and no self-standing mouse would eat it, let's be more halachic. No self-standing dog would eat it, because it's disgusting. And it's less than a kezayit.
Right, cacao.
You can leave it in the house. Why? Let's think about it logically. What were the chachamim worried about? You don't mean your bitul chametz. Do I mean my bitul chametz on my crumbs? Of course I mean it. Mm-hmm. Two, you may eat it. Am I going to eat a crumb? Get up in the morning. Know what I have a temptation for this morning? I don't need the Cheerios. I don't need the bread. I want a crumb. Get me a crumb, please. A crumb. Pour a little bleach on it, and that's what I want to eat.
They call it crumb
cake. A crumb.
Right.
A crumb. I'm pretty sure that by the end of that Pesach, the person would be institutionalized in a certain institution. So, to make a long story short, gentlemen, Rabbi, God said you don't have to clean your house for Pesach, just kasha your kitchen, do bitul. The rabbi says, no, you have to clean and do bedika. Where do you have to clean? Places you usually go into with chametz. Such as if you eat on your bed, you should check your mattress. And places usually store chametz. They never said that you have to check places that you never put chametz into. Ever. Yes, if there's a good probability that your dog or your kids took chametz and ate it in a certain place, that comes under the category of places that indeed you have to clean and check. But if you don't have a dog and you have people that are in the house and they don't move out the refrigerator to eat behind it in order to put it back, you don't have to check behind the refrigerator or clean behind the refrigerator. That falls under the category of that bor malechi team that maybe has chametz. That bitul is covered by. Why? First of all, you won't eat it. Like a person doesn't get up Pesach morning, let me move the refrigerator out to see if there's any chametz behind it. Oh, there is? Oh, I'm going to eat it. That much a Jew's not going to do. If it's edible and it's available, he may. But if it's not edible and available, he may not. To make a long story short, gentlemen, how do you clean the house for Pesach? This is what you got to do. It's very, very simple. Think to yourselves. Let's think of the places where we usually eat. We eat on the dining room chairs. Okay, let's look on the dining room chairs if there's chametz. However, do we usually take the chair apart, take four screws out, then eat, and then put the chair back? No. So therefore, do you have to clean under the chair for the crumbs that fall behind? No. Because you usually don't eat there. You don't put chametz there. Next, let's go to the rest of the house. Do you sometimes walk around the house with chametz? Yes. So you should definitely clean the floors. I agree. You clean the floors. I'm sure most of you clean the floors every week, once a week. If you clean the floors before Pesach, that's it. That's it. Now, if you eat on your bed, I do. I like to eat in front of the TV. I have to clean the bed. What does that mean? You take the mattress, you put it in the washing machine, you take it out, that's it. It's about, I would say, with the dryer, let's say you put it outside, it's a beautiful day. So let's assume that the washing machine takes 30 minutes, 40, 50 minutes. Then you put it outside for an hour. Okay, 2 hours later, you have cleaned your bed from humming. Now, does anyone here, when they eat in their bed in front of the TV, do they go if they have a TV, chas v'shalom? Yeah, if they go ahead and they eat in front of the TV, chas v'shalom, and they're eating in their bed, do they say, you know what I want to do today? Yeah, what? I want to take the mattress off. I want to eat in the spring of the bed on the bottom. I'm going to go like this in the spring, and I'm going to watch TV. I'm going to watch a Jackie Mason premiere by looking like this. He'd make fun of you through the TV. He'd somehow see it and say, what is this guy doing? We eat on a mattress. You got to clean the mattress. You do not have to clean under the mattress because you don't eat chametz there. Now you're going to say to me, but maybe crumbs fell there. No? What did we just say? First of all, it's not a kezayit. Second of all, they're probably mitunaf by now. They're not edible. And thirdly, it's covered by betel. You have to clean chametz in places where either you will eat it, such as the cupboards that you see, on the chair itself, not under the springs and whatnot. And you have to clean from places that indeed have chametz that's big enough. But nowhere, nowhere have we found that you have to look for crumbs. Peruvim are covered by betel, because no one's going to get up in the morning and say, I'd like to eat the crumbs. Or no one will say when they're betel, kol chamira v'chamira, I'm going to get rid of all my chametz, and it's all afar, and it's all onus, except for the crumbs. I want to keep the crumbs. The crumbs are very important to me. I mean, those crumbs, oh, I love the crumbs. Oh, the crumbs bring ants. I love ants. Oh, let me leave the crumbs. Obviously, you mean your betel on that. The chachamim never made a gzera on crumbs. So therefore, to sum up this year, gentlemen, it's like the common saying in Israel, that peirurim, that dust is not chametz, and the kids are not a korban Pesach. Quite frankly, crumbs are not chametz. And if you do think that they're chametz, because it's less than a kezayit, then just do what the Mishnah Berurah says. Make it netunaf. I'll tell you a good idea. Take a little bleach, if you're very, very worried, and just spray it. That's it. You're going to eat it now? You're going to say the betel doesn't cover it now? But that's a chumrah on top of a chumrah. The Chachamim never made a gzera. So to clean their house for Pesach l'mehadrin, we are going to look in the places we usually eat, even for less than a kezayit, like the Mishnah Berurah says, find a chariot less than a kezayit, and that's it. Not under the places and above the places and up and down and who knows where. Those are not the places that usually bring chametz into. It's not part of what the Chachamim were going to say. And therefore, I want to sum up this shiur by saying one thing. Many women and men, this is not something that's only for women, go a little nuts by cleaning for Pesach. I just have one request. If you want to clean the walls for Pesach, and you want to clean the windows, don't say you're cleaning for Pesach. Don't blame Pesach on your mishigas. Say, I'm cleaning. Doing spring cleaning. I'm cleaning. I'm a cleaning freak. I'm cleaning because I love cleaning. I'm cleaning. It's a nice smell. It's a nice odor. It's a custom in the family to go nuts before the holiday of Pesach. But do not say the words, I am cleaning my windows for Pesach. That is an absolute distortion of the Torah, of the rabbis. That's not for Pesach. That's for cleanliness. If you're sweeping the floor before Bedikas Chametz, I am sweeping the floor for Pesach 100%. Stamp of approval. Beautiful. You see, it's a minhag. But if you say, and I say it again, I am cleaning the walls for Pesach, that is a distortion of the Torah. And now we come to the end of the shiur. So Harold said, can you give the shiur to women? I said, I tried. 50 women came. At the end of the shiur, I made the following declaration. I hope I was clear, and I'm pretty sure this is the biggest waste of my time I've ever did in my life, because no one's going to listen to what I said. You're all going to clean the way you always cleaned. Exactly. You're going to do what you always do. Exactly. Everything we just said is very nice. It's a waste of an hour. But I just have one request from you ladies. When you clean the windows, don't say I'm cleaning them for Pesach. That's all I ask.